I won't keep you long this morning. I know we have food between us, or on between the food, rather. I do want to say a few words just about the Declaration of Independence and this Independence Day weekend that we have been celebrating. You know, I've seen polls of people who've questioned if they know what the Declaration of Independence is, and it's scary how fewer and fewer people understand what that document is, the time frame, the time period of that document, and to even name three people who signed the document, that's becoming less and less common. We are forgetting our heritage. We're forgetting our past, and it's a scary thing. There was a little boy who was in the classroom with his teacher, and he was really struggling to learn history. And one day, the teacher asked him, "Who signed the Declaration of Independence?" And of course, he didn't know. And so the teacher asked him every day for a week, but he couldn't get the right answer. So finally, in desperation, she called the boy's father to come and see her. And she said to him, "Your boy won't tell me who signed the Declaration of Independence." And the father said to his son, he said, "Come here, boy, and sit down." And the boy duly sat down, and his dad said to him, "Now, if you sign that stupid thing, you admit it so we can get on home." We forget our past at our own peril, though, don't we? Because that past, our past is what influenced us. What we have today in this country, just the freedom to be here and to worship as we are doing, the general wealth that our country experiences compared to the rest of the world can go back to this document and back to these men. Who put this document together and signed it. And there is, we heard this morning, the last line of that Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson wrote the document, and he says, "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." And so with these words, Thomas Jefferson finished that document that we know today as the Declaration of Independence. There were 56 men who signed the document, and they truly put their lives and their fortunes and their honor on the line. Five of the signers were captured by the British, and they were tried as traitors, and they were tortured, and then they were killed. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned down. Two of them lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had two sons captured. You know, 9 of those 56 fought and died in the war and died from their wounds. These were men who had, many of them who had means in society as well. Many of them were attorneys, were jurists. They were merchants. 9 of them were farmers with large plantations. They were men of means. They were well educated. And they knew full well when they were signing that document that they were putting their lives and their fortunes and their very honor on the line. And so these men were truly radical revolutionaries. It's sort of hip today to be a revolutionary and to be radical. Well, these guys, these gentlemen, they were radical. They put it all on the line. They put everything on the line for the future of this country so that we might know life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And you know, I never thought I would come to the day in our nation when these valiant men, men like Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, when they would be disdained by many people in our country. And we experience that today. We see that across the land, that they're mocked and they're belittled, not just by common everyday people, but leaders in the media and some politicians and celebrities are demeaning these very people who wrote the founding document and who supported and signed it and who put their lives on the line so that we might have the country that we have today, yet they're mocked and they're ridiculed in our society. And every day there's a new assault, it seems like, on our founding fathers by some of the weakest people. You know, the flag, we've seen that desecrated now for decades. Christianity is mocked. the idea of the family, of motherhood, and of raising children is lampooned in our popular culture. And most recently, we had good old Betsy Ross picked on, right? She was a Quaker, for heaven's sakes, who led the movement to the abolition of slavery in this country. But the truth doesn't matter by people who are making those kind of attacks on our country. It's not about Betsy Ross. It's about power. It's about lampooning and mocking and belittling and undervaluing and rejecting the men and the women who founded this country, who made it great, so that their ideology can gain power in our country. And in the process, this new ideology is destroying the bedrock of the nation, which was founded on life and liberty and property and families and God. And we're becoming more and more a godless and a materialistic world. But those brilliant and those brave Christian men who came from the far shores of England to establish a new nation under God, they have to be pushed aside and they have to be belittled and mocked in order for that ideology to gain power in our country. But we can never forget the inheritance that we have from those men who signed that document, and the life and the liberty and the property and the pursuit of happiness that comes from those brilliant, they were brilliant, brave men who signed that document, who came from the far shores of England. You know, our rights of freedom, our rights of press, our rights of assembly, our rights of worship, our rights of not having the government being able to come into our homes and raid them without a warrant, the freedom just to be left alone. Those are not universally known rights in the world. We take them for granted here. Even in other countries in Europe, they don't know the same freedoms of press or of speech that we know in this country. We're very unique. And to mock that and to belittle that and to disdain that, and those who fought for that and created that document and signed it and put their lives on the line, what have we become when we begin to become a nation who does that? These men were the ones who established our nation. But you know, the long history of this country has been this constant struggle to protect our rights that were given to us by our Creator from power-hungry usurpers. And they've been all throughout our nation, people who've wanted to take those rights away. And always we must go back to those amazing Englishmen from New England and be grateful for their sacrifice, for being courageous enough to put everything on the line. You know, the founding fathers, and I'll close with this, they were inheritors of a great tradition of freedom that had been fought for hundreds of years even before them. If you go back to your history class from junior high school, the Magna Carta of 1215, where some very brave men came before the king and said, "We want some rights. We want the right to petition the government if we've been grieved." And then a few hundred years later, you have the religious movement known as the Protestant Reformation, where the ability to follow one's conscience and to seek God through following one's conscience and through the Word of God and becoming more and more free thinking was a value and a fought for right. And then you have people like Montesquieu and Voltaire and Rousseau, who all influenced the founding fathers. So there was this long history of freedom, of a movement toward freedom coming out of mostly England. And there was just a constant push for more and more freedom and in relationship to the government in that heritage. And that heritage and the people who had that heritage crossed over the ocean and founded a new nation here. And 56 of those men signed a document that put their lives and their fortune and their honor on the line. And so every year, that's why we gather to celebrate on the 4th of July and continuing into this weekend. Because we can't forget them. We can't forget what they did. We can't forget the sacrifice they made, because that sacrifice calls us today to sacrifice, to give of ourselves. And what are some things that we can do to become radical revolutionaries? Well, there's some simple things. First of all, you can live worthy of a people called Americans. Do we strive to do that? Do we get up every day proud to be a son and a daughter of God and proud to be an American and say, I'm going to live the life worthy of what it means to be an American? We've talked recently in past weeks on Sunday morning about the danger of becoming a nation of mediocrity and of immorality. And we do that, we challenge that every day by committing ourselves to be people of excellence and to be people of the highest morality and to be people of beauty rather than of crudeness and vulgarity that's going on in our nation today. So you want to be a radical? You want to be radical today? That's being radical. to pursue excellence. To live a moral, upstanding life and to seek beauty in life and not vulgarity and crudeness. That's radical. Now, whoever thought that would become a radical thing to do? But if you want to be a revolutionary American, try that on any given day. Secondly, be proud of your heritage. There's a lot of attacks on your heritage today, on the Christian West, on the heritage of our Western Christian tradition. It's all over the media. It's in the movies, it's in television, it's in the commercials. They're trying to belittle your heritage and who you are and where you came from. Do not let that happen, but be proud of your heritage and be willing to stand up for it. Recommit yourself to the same God of providence that those founding fathers committed themselves to. Pledge yourself to be committed, to be devoted, to be a committed and devoted member of your church. To see to it that in working through your church that you are striving for those goals of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And two more things. Support and strengthen the family. If anybody wants to ruin this nation, they've known all along that you've got to attack the family. And the family has been under attack for several decades now in this country. And it continues. Motherhood is belittled. Marriage is belittled. Even having children today is counted as something unusual or not in the mainstream anymore. But the most wonderful, powerful thing that a man or a woman can do is to pursue marriage and to pursue children. Because in marriage and in children is our future. It's the greatest blessing that you'll ever know. And then finally, I would say, just join with other citizens around you. The same people that want to destroy the country want you sitting in front of a TV 16 hours a day. Oh, they want you angry at the news, and they want you texting and Facebooking and saying how angry you are, but they don't want you outside of your house. They don't want you forming with other people in groups like whatever club that might be in this area that you could be a part of, a social group or a community help group. They don't want you getting together. Because when you get together and you start talking about your values and your rights and what wonderful things those are, power gels. And those values and those begin to solidify again. And they begin to be honored again. And people begin to respect them. And they become the norm and not something radical. Our goal is for the values of our founding fathers to not be radical anymore, but to be the norm. But right now, it's radical to be a person who is a person of honor and a person of excellence and a person of moral uprightness. That's radical. Our goal is for that to be normal again in this country. Because until it is normal again, we'll see a decline in our nation. And what our forefathers fought for, what that document that they signed and put their lives on the line for, becomes just empty words. It just becomes words on a piece of paper unless we fight for it every day. And that's our challenge as sons and daughters of God and of citizens of this great nation, is to strive for excellence, to be morally upright, and to live for beauty in our lives and not to pursue ugliness and crudeness and vulgarity. There's plenty of that in this nation. But that's not what our forefathers and our foremothers fought for in this country. Let's pray together. Father, so good to be in your house, gather with these people in this place. We thank you for the commitment of each one of these to be here today and to celebrate our Christian America. We thank you for their commitment each day to pursue excellence, to pursue a moral, upright life, and to create a life of beauty rather than crudeness and mediocrity. Father, teach us to pursue the highest ideals with our short lives that we have, not to waste them, not to fritter them away, but to be another generation who creates, brings about greatness in this country through the simple little acts of being sons and daughters of God and wonderful citizens of this great nation that through your providence was created in this land. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.